And so we started a class this week that is based on the book You Are the Placebo by Dr. Joe Dispenza. The book is called You Are the Placebo, Making Your Mind Matter. And so Dr. Joe Dispenza in the year 1986 was hit by an SUV which broke 6 vertebrae in his back. And so he was told by the doctors that he would need to have surgery and have 2 steel rods put down either side of his spine and that he would probably never walk again. Well, Dr. Joe Dispenza knew that there was an intelligence in his body that knew how to heal his body, that intelligence that is everywhere present in this universe. And so he decided that he was going to go against that medical model and use his mind, his consciousness, to heal his body. And so that's what he did. He went within, connected with that infinite intelligence of this universe, and gave it a template or a vision of what it was that he wanted to experience, his body whole and healthy and functioning, visualized and saw and felt and experienced his life as it would be when he was in that whole and healthy state, and then allowed the universe to do its work. And heal he did. And he never had the surgery. And today he walks and he runs and he lectures and he teaches and he's written 5 books. And all of the subject matter that he talks about and teaches is about consciousness and using your consciousness and your mind to create healing and to manifest what it is that you want in your life. And so imagine that. Amazing. And that's the title of my talk today, is Imagine That. And so I am talking about today using the power of your mind, the power of your consciousness to create the life that you want, to heal your body and to heal the body of your affairs. What he teaches is the exact same thing that we teach at Centers for Spiritual Living. And so Ernest Holmes speaks of this in the Science of Mind textbook. He says, "The science of mind is based entirely upon the supposition that we are surrounded by a universal mind into which we think. This mind, in its original state, fills all space. It is in man as well as outside him and her. As we think into this universal mind, we set a law in motion which is creative and which contains within itself limitless possibility." And he goes on to say, "It is a great mistake to say, take what you wish, for you can have anything you like. We do not take what we wish, but we do attract to ourselves that which is like our thought." A law and a universe which is limitless. And so we live in this limitless potential, this field of infinite potentiality. And we can have, and we can be, and we can experience that which we believe we can have and be and experience. And so that book titled You Are the Placebo is because the placebo pill, the sugar pill that these people take in the book and all these studies that he talks about, the pill is not what heals them. It's the power of their minds that heal them. It's the power of their belief and their expectations. It is all in their mind. They are the placebo. Their mind is the placebo. Because what, like Ernest Holmes says, what we think and what we feel goes into the law. And then the law reproduces more of the same thing, and that's what we experience in our lives and in our bodies. The problem is, though, is we tend to have tremendous habits of thought and habits of being and habits of acting in the way that we are in the world. Just for an instance, think about every morning you get up and you do the same thing. Whatever your morning routine is, you get out of bed and you make the coffee and you check your email and then you take a shower and then you get dressed and then you brush your teeth and then you get in your same car and drive the same route to work and do the same work that you do every single day. And all those same actions create the same thoughts in your mind, which create the same emotional reactions in your body, which tells your body and your brain how to respond, and it actually signals the genes in your brain to turn on or off, and that makes our health or our not health. But what happens is because we have those same thoughts and those same feelings, we create today just like yesterday was. And we create tomorrow just like today was. And we keep experiencing the same and the same and the same day after day after day. Not just in our environment, but in our bodies. And so in this book, You Are the Placebo, Joe Dispenza talks about that. And he says, about the genes that I was talking about. He says, scientists discovered that few of our genes are static. The majority of genes, estimates range from 75 to 85%, are turned on and off by signals from our environment, including the environment of our thoughts, beliefs, and emotions that we cultivate in our brains. So our thinking and our feeling doesn't change our DNA, but what it does is it changes the way it expresses. It turns certain genes on and off, which creates our health or dis-ease, our healing or not healing, that affects everything that's going on in our bodies. And so my question to you is, are you happy with every aspect of your life? Or are there things in your life that you might like to change? If you are happy with everything in your life, then keep thinking and feeling exactly what you've been thinking and feeling, and you'll just keep creating more of that. But if there is something in your life that you would like to change, if, for example, you'd like to have better health, or maybe you'd like to have more love or peace or harmony in a particular relationship, or maybe you'd like to have greater abundance in your life, whether that's an abundance of money or of time or of opportunities or of friends or of love or whatever it is. That's the air conditioning that's come on. I see you all looking at what is that noise? And so if you aren't happy with every single aspect of your life, then it behooves you and it behooves me to look at what it is that we're believing, to look at what it is that we are thinking about and putting our focus on and our attention on. So have you been wallowing in thoughts about how much you hate your job or how much you dislike your boss or your next-door neighbor, or what a jerk your spouse is, or your coworker, or your mother, or your daughter, or your cousin, or whoever you're thinking about? Do you hold on to those thoughts and keep thinking about those things? If you're experiencing dis-ease in your body, how much of your time is focused on how bad you feel? How much of your time is focused on how miserable you are, or how bleak your future is going to be because of this? Dr. Joe Dispenza realized if he was going to heal, he had to not think about or regret the past. He realized that if he was going to heal, he needed to not worry about the future. He needed to not obsess about the conditions in his life. And he needed to not focus on the pain that he was feeling in his body. And so what he did instead of that was he imagined and visualized and felt and sensed and experienced what it was that he wanted to experience himself as whole and healthy with a spine that was healed, outdoing the things in his life that he wanted to do. And sometimes he spent hours a day focusing on that and doing that. His book is filled with tons of double-blind experiments and case study after case study of people that were healed from taking placebos, a sugar pill that has nothing but inert ingredients, no active ingredients in it, or people that had placebo surgeries. And if you've never heard of a placebo surgery before, what that means is the person is under the impression that they're going to have the surgery. They put them under. They make an incision. Say it's a back surgery or a knee surgery or a heart surgery. Make the incision just like they would and then sew them up and do nothing else. And people healing like they've had the actual surgery. And so I'd like to share a couple of these stories with you that he has in here. This one is called The Heart That Wasn't. In the late 1950s, two groups of researchers conducted studies comparing the then standard surgery for angina to a placebo. This was well before the coronary artery bypass graft, the surgery most often used today. Back then, most heart patients received a procedure known as internal mammary ligation, which involved exposing the damaged arteries and intentionally tying them off. The thinking was that if surgeons blocked the flow of blood in this way, it would force the body to sprout new vascular channels, increasing blood flow to the heart. The surgery was extremely successful for a huge majority of patients who had it, although doctors had no solid proof that any new blood vessels were actually created, hence the motivation for these two studies. These groups of researchers, one in Kansas City and one in Seattle, each followed the same procedure, dividing their study groups into two groups. One received the standard internal mammary ligation. The other received a sham surgery. The surgeons made the small incision into the patient's chest that they'd made for the real surgery, exposing the arteries, but then they just sewed the patient's back up, doing nothing more. The result of both studies was strikingly similar. 67% of the patients who received the actual surgery felt less pain and needed less medication, while 83% of those who had the sham surgery enjoyed the same level of improvement. More people that had the sham surgery than had the real surgery had the same effects. The placebo surgery actually worked better than the real surgery. And a second one is Parkinson's versus the placebo. Parkinson's disease is a neurological disorder marked by the gradual degeneration of nerve cells in the portion of the midbrain called the basal ganglia, which controls body movements. The brains of those who have this heartbreaking disease don't produce enough of the neurotransmitter dopamine, which is the basal ganglia needs for proper functioning. Early symptoms of Parkinson's, which is currently considered incurable, include motor issues such as muscle rigidity, tremors, and changes in gait and speech patterns that override voluntary control. In one study, a group of researchers at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver informed a group of Parkinson patients that they were going to receive a drug that would significantly improve their symptoms. In reality, the patients received a placebo, nothing more than a saline injection. Even so, half of them who had no drug intervention in fact, had much better motor control after receiving the injection. The researchers then scanned the patients' brains to get a better idea of what happened and found that the people who responded positively to the placebo were actually manufacturing dopamine in their brains as much as 200% more than before. To get an equivalent effect with a drug, you'd have to administer roughly a full dose of amphetamine, a mood-elevating drug that also increases dopamine. It seems that merely expecting to get better unleashed some previously untapped power within the Parkinson's patients that triggered the production of dopamine, exactly what their bodies needed to get better. So it's not that people are imagining that they feel better. Actual brain scans and blood tests show that there are actual changes in their bodies because they believe it. It is all about belief and acceptance. And so a few years ago, I went on vacation to New Mexico, and one of the places that we went while we were there was we visited a little church in Chimayo, New Mexico. And it is believed that in this church, in the basement of the church, there's a hole in the ground that has dirt that's exposed, and it's believed that this dirt has the power to heal. And so we went down into this room, The room is about the size of this room here, lined with crutches and wheelchairs that people have left behind from taking the dirt and rubbing it on their bodies or eating it or taking it home with them. And so you might think, maybe that soil does have healing powers. The only thing is, they bring in 20 to 30 tons of dirt to replace the dirt that's taken every year and put new dirt in. It's the power of belief. That is, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Believe something new. Believe something different about your life and about your future and about what your life is about and about your body. We can change the things that are happening in our lives, and we can change the things that are happening in our bodies. Infinite potential is the realm that we live in. And it is ours for the taking when we believe it and when we accept it and when we embody it, when we believe that it's already ours. And so Ernest Holmes says in regards to this, what we now experience, we may cease experiencing if we have the will and the imagination to set our vision in an opposite direction and hold it there. It is the office of the imagination to set the vision. The will should hold it in place until the creative genius of the inner life transforms the image of limitation and transmutes it. It happens in our minds, in our beliefs. And so how do we do this? I think we begin by making a decision. I think we begin by deciding what it is that we want to have or experience or be, and then we decide, we make a choice that that is what we're going to do. We set an intention. It's not wishy-washy. I think so many times when we get into doing spiritual mind treatment and want to have healing, we go, oh, I hope this can happen. You know, we never talk about hope here. Because hope says it might happen and it might not hope. That might not happen. We talk about believing and embodying and truth and knowing and owning. It's not wishy-washy. So you begin by deciding what it is that you want and making the decision that that is what you're going to do, that is what you're going to have, that is what you're going to be. And then you practice meditation regularly. Because what happens when we meditate is we disidentify with our bodies. We disidentify with the problem. We disidentify with our current experience as it is right now. We disidentify with those habits of thought, those thoughts that we keep thinking the same over and over again, those thoughts that create this sense of self and who we think we are and what we think we are. We disidentify with the state of affairs and with time. And instead, we move into that realm of creative potential. We move into that realm of infinite potentiality, where all possibility exists. And so Dispenza talks about that. He says, what happens when we go into that place of meditation? He says, there where all things are possible. To do that, you must lay down your identity and disconnect from your body, the environment, and time. Because the longer you linger in the unknown is that place you get to in meditation where you're in the zone, where there are no thoughts. The longer you linger in the unknown, the more you draw the unknown to you. And if nerve cells that no longer fire together, no longer wire together, you'll be silencing the circuits in your brain that are connected to your old self. He goes on to say, you'll no longer be emotionally signaling the same genes in the same way. You disconnect from those habits of thought so that there's space for something new to happen in your life or in your body. And then you imagine what it is that you want as if you're already experiencing it. You see it, You feel it. You see yourself doing this new thing, being this new thing. How are you going to be in this? What choices and decisions are you going to make? Who are you going to be with? All the new things that will be happening, you see all that and feel it. Imagine it as if it's happening in that space of quietness from your meditation. You make it real, and then you release that into the creative intelligence of the universe in gratitude. So you want to try it? All right. So I invite you to uncross your arms and legs and make yourself comfortable and close your eyes. Ah, and just take a deep letting go kind of breath. And allow your attention to just come to the center of your being for a moment. And to rest in this present moment. Recognizing that we do indeed live in this field of possibility. This field of infinite potential. That is the presence of the Infinite One. The life that we are living. And allow yourself to focus on that for a moment. That infinite presence outside of you. To focus on that no-thing-ness. You are not your body. You are not your thinking. You are not your experiences. You are this aspect of consciousness. And now, what is the belief or perception that you would like to change about yourself or your life? Do you want to continue to believe and perceive in this way? If not, I want you to make a decision. With such a firm intention that the amplitude of that decision carries a level of energy that is greater than the hardwired program in your brain, that is greater than the emotional addictions in your body, and allow your body to respond to a new mind. And allow your choice to become an experience that you'll never forget. And let the experience produce an emotion with such energy that it rewrites the programs and changes your biology. And so now, imagine what it is that you would like to experience instead. What is it that you want to believe and perceive about yourself and your life? And so I want you to take that thought that you would like to let go of and surrender it back into possibility. And allow the infinite field of possibilities to resolve it in a way that is right for you. So give it up and let it go and leave it behind. And now bring to mind again that thing that you want to believe or perceive about yourself and your life. How would that feel? How would you live from this state of being? What choices will you make? How will you behave? What experiences are in your future? How will you live? How will it feel? How will you love? And allow infinite waves of possibility to collapse into an experience in your life. And now, surrender your creation to a greater mind. For what you think and experience in this realm of possibility, if truly felt, it will manifest in some future time, from waves of possibility to particles in reality. From immaterial to material, from thought to energy into matter. Now surrender your new belief into a field of consciousness that already knows how to organize the outcome in a way that is perfect for you. Planting a seed in possibility. And now take your left hand and place it over your heart. And I want you to bless your body, that it be lifted to a new mind. And bless your life, that it be an extension of your mind. And bless your future, that it never be your past. And bless your past, that it turns to wisdom. And bless the adversity in your life, that it initiates you into greatness. And bless the divine in you, that it moves in you, that it moves through you, that it moves all around you, and that it shows cause in your life. And finally, I want you to give thanks for a new life before it's made manifest. Thanks for that thing. So that your body, as unconscious mind, begins to experience the future now in your gratitude. For the emotional signature of gratitude means that the event has already happened. For gratitude is the ultimate state of receivership. And just memorize this feeling. And bring your awareness back to a new body and to a new environment and to a whole new time. And when you're ready, you may open your eyes. Disidentifying with the body and creating the template of what you want to have and releasing it into the universe to take care of the details. And so my invitation to you is to choose, make that decision and choice of what you're going to experience. Set your intention and then meditate daily. Meditate, practice so you can move into the void, into that void that is filled with possibility, that womb of creativity that is filled with infinite potential. That is the quantum field of all possibility. And visualize what you want. See it and feel it and experience it as if you are already experiencing it. And so for our class that I'm teaching, I created a meditation that was from this book. It's a much longer version of what we did. It's 20 minutes of disidentifying with your body and another 25 minutes of creating the template for what you want and doing some of what we did here. Your green sheet that has your invitations has the website and the password on it. So take that with you today, and I invite you anytime you want to go online on our website and listen to that meditation. I've been doing it, and it's really, really amazing. And so I invite you to do that and to see and feel your new life as it is that you want to experience it, and then you'll be well on your way to creating this life of your dreams and this body of health and wholeness. So imagine that. And so blessings to all of you on this path of unfolding and of self-discovering and of discovering that infinite one that is inside of you. Blessings to you all. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so how good it is to be in recognition of this infinite presence that always is right where we are. That infinite presence whose good pleasure it is to give us the kingdom. For yes, indeed, we do live in this kingdom at every moment, this kingdom of the infinite, this kingdom of the divine, this kingdom of possibility. And so I know today that that presence right now is unfolding itself within our bodies and within our minds as this dream and this desire, this longing that we hold in our hearts as the fruition of that. For we are opening ourselves and have created this template and are open to receive. And so I know that all the good that the universe contains, for God is the good, right now is pouring itself into our lives. For we are open and we are overflowing with blessings. I know that we can never be separate or apart from this one for an instant in all of eternity. For it is the life that we are living. It is the very essence of our spirit. It is the essence of our soul. It is that which we have come from. And it is that which we live in and are filled with now. And so what a blessing it is to be in recognition of this. What a blessing it is to be walking this path of the divine. What a blessing it is to be receiving the gifts of the Spirit, which are the dreams that we are longing to be. For those dreams of our heart are actually Spirit knocking from the inside, wanting to come through, wanting to express in greater fullness within us. And so today we say yes. Yes to this call. Yes to being all we want to be and living the fullest, most glorious lives that Spirit has already intended for us to live. And so I also add this prayer right now for this entire country and across this world, anywhere where there are fires or floods or earthquakes, knowing that that infinite presence of love and of peace and of power and of wholeness and of wisdom right now is expressing itself in and through every single person that is helping, every single person that is assisting, every single person that is seeking, that the presence of love and peace is right there within the hearts and hands and bodies and affairs of every single one of these people across the world that is being affected right now. And it's for this that I give thanks. And so I release this prayer into that field of all possibility, claiming it and knowing it and accepting it as so. And so I say, thank you, God, and so it is.